The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
And so today what we're going to talk about is Solomon as he gives us advice. He gives advice for the young and he gives advice for the old today. And I thought a great way to open this up is to talk a little bit about young and old and getting perspective. There was a couple that had been married for 50 years. And she said, "Things have really changed. You used to sit very close to me when we first got married." And he said to her, "Well, you know what? I can remedy that." And he got up and he moved and sat right next to her on the couch. And then she said, "Well, when we first got married, you used to hold me tight." And he says, "How's that?" as he gives her a hug. And he goes, "Do you remember when you used to nudge my neck and nibble on my ears?" And he jumped up to his feet and he left the room. And she said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'll be back. I've got to get my teeth." Anne Whittlecombe, she's the shadow home secretary in the British House of Commons. She said this, let's face it, we are not a happier society as a result of the liberalization of the 70s. We have record rates of divorce. We have record rates of suicide, record rates of teenage pregnancy, record rates of youth crime, record rates of underage sex. We should invite people to recognize that the great experiment has failed. The conclusion: you cannot have happiness without restraint. Man, wouldn't that be something if our culture would actually recognize this amazing truth? It is amazing. Doesn't it seem like in our culture we just can't seem to be happy? We can't seem to be content where we are? I mean, I see it every day. Blondes want to be brunettes. Brunettes want to be blonde. Short people want to be tall. Tall people want to be taller. People wish they had a different name. They wish they had a different eye color. And for our purposes today, young people want to be older. And older people want to be younger. I mean, I think about it. Older people or younger people, they wish that they were older. And you ask them, "Why are you in such a hurry to grow up? I mean, your life is so good for you right now. You're just in such a hurry to grow up." And they're like, "Well, I just older people, they can do more. You know, older people, they experience more." Even young girls and young guys will even try to wear makeup to make themselves look older. The young are in such a hurry to grow up. And what of the old? The older people, all they want to do is be young. According to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, surgeons perform more than 10 million cosmetic procedures every year. Almost none of them medically necessary. 10 million. One of the reigning idolatries of modern times is the cult of youth. For people who know that they are getting older, worshiping this god or goddess demands endless efforts to stay young. It's amazing. We can't be content when we're young. We can't be content when we're older. Whether we are young or old, somewhere in between, that's the one thing I love about this book. Ecclesiastes brings us some wonderful insight. Great insight. Solomon urges us to celebrate the joys of life at any age, no matter what age, no matter what season in life we are. Solomon urges us to rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. "Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words that you have given us today. Lord, I pray that it continues to transform us, to help us see truth in the place that provides us real truth, Lord. Father, help us to not fall victim to the deceptions of this world, but God, that we will follow your word and let it again be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Bob, is this good? I guess not. Is this okay? Is it high enough? You can hear me? Okay, I want to make sure I got it right this time. Okay, well, today, the first thing we're going to explore in this passage is the exhortation and warning that he has given to many who have lived many years. The second thing we're going to look at is we are going to uncover the exhortation and warning given to those who have not lived many years yet. And finally, in light of all the good advice given to us, it's clear that we will find that the greatest reason to rejoice is not in good advice, but in the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Our thesis statement today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause some of us to be discontent with our season in life, but it is because the light of Jesus that we can find life and life more abundant, no matter what time in life, over the hill or not, we will always have the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus. And because we do, we can rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. So, point number one, good advice for the old. What a joy it is to live many years. So here we have the first exhortation, the first bit of advice that's given. And he's saying this, that even though life is vanity, there is still reason for us to enjoy the goodness of life. Yes, light is sweet. So if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7, if you look at verse 7, light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. See, this call is especially for the older people who have lived many years. It's good to find joys in the pleasures of life. Because if you think about it, there are many things in life that are sweet, right? I mean, let's go to the obvious. The taste of honey is sweet. Or what I probably would prefer is sweet cream ice cream from Cold Stone. If you guys haven't had it, you need to. You don't know sweet until you have sweet cream from Cold Stone. Or the sweet spot when you hit the ball on the golf club and it just goes, psh, it's sweet. Or the sweet spot in a room where the music sounds the best. Or a sweet act of someone sewing patches on your jujitsu gi. Thank you so much, Lori. That was sweet of you. And not only are things sweet, but life, there's a lot of things in life that are also bright, right? Bright. Remember, Shriners, the first ray of sunshine that hits the water at Makapu Beach. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. Or a full rainbow shining against the dark clouds in the Smoky Mountains. Or the bright blazing campfire of a warm summer's night at Maroon Bells in Colorado. Or I remember as a kid, the one thing when it says light, the thing that I loved, was the twinkling Christmas lights of home after a long day of shopping with mom. Light, how sweet life is, how bright are its many blessings. This is what he's wanting us to see, he's wanting just us to encourage. What a joy it is to live for many seasons of life with all of this. It's not just a couple of years of all these blessings, but many years of all these blessings. And what a joy it is for us to live many seasons in life, not only because we have more time to serve the Lord in sowing and reaping for the kingdom of Christ, but because we also have more opportunity to enjoy the goodness of life. So I'm hoping you're hearing this. Those of you who have lived many years now, I mean, I guess many years is relative, but if you feel like you're in that category, then rejoice today. Hear what Solomon is having to say. Life is precious. Life is sweet. Rejoice. Hear the words of one saint who was feeling the effects of his age, and when worried that he might be discouraged, he said, when he was asked if he was discouraged, he said, not at all. Because with the Lord, life gets better and better. Wow. Psalm 91, verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 16. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. It's a reward for us to live many years. It's a blessing for us to live many years. So what should we do with the long life? Well, the right way to respond to what Solomon is saying here is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We rejoice. We praise God for the goodness of life. We praise God for the goodness of life and life more abundant that we have been given. All the blessings that we've got to experience, all the blessings that those who are retired get to continue to experience. You know, that's one of the things I've seen. You know, a lot of people will complain about, you know, work and complain about retirement, but every time I see those that are retired, they're always smiling. Amen. I don't see very many retired people walking around. Going to, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes up, they're up, they're ready to go. You know, for those of us that are not retired, 8 o'clock hits, and I need my coffee, I gotta pick up this, and just, you know, grouchy all the time. All the blessings that you got to experience, that you continue to be able to experience. For those that have lived many years, all of the experiences that you have had that many of the younger people will never experience. Things that I treasure at my age that I'm so glad I got to experience that young people will never experience anymore is this thing called whiteout. Liquid paper. Remember, kids are looking at, well, what's liquid paper? I remember times when I'd be talking to my girlfriend on the phone and get wrapped up in the cord. You don't remember. Young people won't experience that anymore. I mean, they're just things that have happened that older people had experienced that even people today aren't actually able to experience. You know, the things that young people won't experience is the time where you had to crank your car to start it. You remember that, Charlie? Jerry, don't laugh. When Jerry started his car, he went, ha! Anyway, the things that we get to experience, that people are not going to be able to experience. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for all the yummy, sweet things that we get to eat, all the bright things that we get to see. We praise the Lord for amazing things. Like, you know, we saw in Ecclesiastes before how we need to praise the Lord for food and the good food that we get to eat. You know, I like it. I love sitting down and having good food. Like, you know, the best thing to eat, like on a great day, the best thing to eat is like Pop-Tarts and Vienna sausage. What? Oh my gosh. Yeah, y'all don't know what you're missing. And what we see and we get to experience every single day in all seriousness, family, is this. The living God is the Lord of light. And when he said, let there be light, there was. And there has been light shining ever since. According to the prophets, we see in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out into the pasture. See, family, our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord of light deserves our praise because our Lord is worthy of all of our praise. He is the living God. He is the beginning and the end. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is more than wonderful. That's why we cry, I want to be in the light as he is in the light. However, even as we rejoice, yes, see how Solomon, inspired of the Lord, likes to kind of bring us back to reality at times. We need to remember that there is more that happens in life than sweetness and light, which is something Solomon just never lets us forget. If we live for many years, he says, the dark days or the days of darkness will be many. And sooner or later, we will taste what is bitter in life as well as what is sweet. Because the reality is this, sooner or later, we're going to suffer loss, salvation, or sadness, disappointment. We're going to lose pain. We're going to suffer injustice. We're going to suffer grief. Sooner or later, we're going to experience ongoing change. We're going to experience the ongoing frustration of the circle of life, the ongoing treadmill of life. Sooner or later, we're going to realize for all time that life under the sun is like trying to catch mist, trying to catch vapor. So what Solomon is wanting us to see here is the longer we live, the longer we are on the treadmill of life. So yes, there are things in life that we need to remember to enjoy, to have, and to have joy and to enjoy. But Solomon also asserts that all that comes, including the years when we are old and gray, is vanity. At the beginning of Ecclesiastes, we were told, all is vanity. It's all meaningless. So what's interesting here is some commentators, when it comes to this passage, they actually think that Solomon is maybe a little confused here. It shocks me all the time when I read commentaries and they say things like that, where they say things like, we think that Solomon might be confused here. Remember on Wednesday night we were talking? Remember? It's so funny how every time we find something in Scripture that we don't understand, or things in Scripture that we don't like, we always think that there's something wrong with the Scripture. We never think that there's something wrong with us. To that. But here's the thing. They'll say that he's giving contradictory advice, and you know that you know it's so strange that he would say, okay, you need to enjoy life, but remember you're going to die. You know, this is not confusion, family. This is clarity. You see that? It's the thing that I love about this. If you understand and recognize, really try to see and understand what Solomon is reading or what he's saying here. What, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Solomon is trying to give us clarity and to get us out of the confusion. What Ecclesiastes does here, and I've hoped that, you know, this past year as we've been going through this book, that's one of the things that we've been seeing is we're coming to a place where we have a realistic view of life. And that's so important for us today. So important for us today. Because culture, the media, society, all of these things, they're all trying to give us an unrealistic view of life. An unrealistic view of success. An unrealistic view of even beauty. Have you seen Photoshop? Some of the people that you see on the cover of magazines don't actually exist. An unrealistic outlook on life. Unrealistic spectacles. Unrealistic glasses when you look out. And so what Ecclesiastes is wanting us to see is reality. is joyful about all these happy pleasures, but at the same time, we have to be sober about the many sorrows in life, because this is the world we live in. When Solomon tells us that we will have many dark days, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's not trying to be cynical. He's not trying to rob us of joy. To sum it up, I think what he's saying is this. He's telling us to enjoy life as much as you can for as long as you can. To the end of our days, there is sweetness in the world, and we are called to rejoice. We are not to take life for granted. We are not to complain about our problems the way people sometimes do, the way sometimes we do. But we greet each new day the way the psalmist did in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The great evangelist, George Whitefield, he was relating the difficulties of gospel ministry to his friends one day. He's complaining. And he said that he was weary of the burdens of ministry, and he was glad that his work would soon be over and that he would depart this earthly scene to be with Christ. And the others that were sitting there all admitted to having similar feelings, all except one, Mr. Tennant. Noting this, Whitefield, he tapped him on the knee and said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you are the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is so near at hand when you will be called home?" Mr. Tennant answered bluntly, and he said that he had no wish about it. When pressed for some more details, he said this, listen to this, "If you forget everything in the sermon today, fine. Don't forget what he says here." This is what he said to the great evangelist George Whitefield. "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." Whitefield accepted that word as a gentle rebuke from the Lord, and he said that it helped him go on with his work calmly and patiently. I mean, isn't that kind of it? Do the best that we can, as long as we can, to do everything we can to be as faithful to our Lord as possible until it's time for him to say, "Shane, come home." Number two, good advice for the young. Young people enjoy many blessings in life. The call to rejoice is not just for the older, but also for the youngsters. While older people are to praise God for the length of their days, young people are to praise God for the strength of their youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything that you do. Sober, isn't it? So he's saying this. Here's some advice from Solomon. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says this. Young people, enjoy the blessings in life. Enjoy life. Essentially, you have fewer cares that come with having adult responsibilities. This is what my parents used to tell me all the time, and I just thought I knew better, and I just decided, you know what, I would rather just grow up a lot quicker than I should have. You know, and I never really understood that. I didn't realize how good I had it till I moved out. My dad always said this thing about bills. You know, I thought he was talking about a football team in Buffalo. Bills, Shane. You're going to be faced with bills. I did not realize how good I had it. All I had to do was go to school, eat, sleep, play video games, go to school. Does that sound heavenly? You didn't have to worry about bills. You didn't have to worry about the house. If something, there was a leak or something like that, that was Dad's issue, not mine. I didn't realize how good it was. And here's the thing, young people, your bodies are strong and they're getting stronger. They heal fast. Their hearts are full of good cheer. And when I was young, I can remember lots and lots and lots of laughter. Oh, I loved to laugh when I was young. And the future is still full of all kinds of possibilities. The world is open. You got the whole world to look at. The whole world is at your fingertips. Not only, I love this, not only do you have many opportunities, but you actually have the energy to use them. That's one of the things I did not understand till I turned 40. From what I hear, it gets worse. Just don't have the energy to do stuff anymore. Just can't simply get up and do stuff. I remember before, if I was thirsty, I could just get up out of the couch and walk over to the refrigerator and grab something to drink. Now I have to call one of my children from downstairs in the basement to come up to go to the refrigerator to get me something to drink. That was a joke. But not really. The energy to take the opportunities. There is freedom to take risks and time to go in a different direction. Do you know that on average right now, that individuals today will change careers 4 times in their life? It's amazing. And young people, they still dream. Young people can make a difference. They believe they can still make a difference. And this is the reasons why young people should rejoice in their youth. Enjoy it now. Enjoy it now. Or some of you that are kind of young and you're on the verge of falling into the place where you're going to actually have to start taking on responsibilities. Essentially, what he's saying here is enjoy it. Even if you only have a couple of days. Even if you only have a couple of weeks. Sabrina, you only have one more day with mom and dad. Enjoy it. Well, you can. Enjoy these things. And once again, Solomon, the preacher, sounds a cautionary note. What he says about following one's heart might lead some people to think they can do whatever they please. But they can do whatever they want. But they are led to think. And that's the problem with sin today, isn't it? That we're led to think mainly of ourselves. We expect everyone else to operate on our schedule. We've got to live for the moment. It's one of the things that you hear young people saying all the time. Oh, come on, live a little. Come on, you're on vacation. Live a little. Have a little bit of fun in life. And that little bit of advice always is leading you to do something very naughty. Living for the moment. This is what young people do, right? Don't stop to think about the consequences of their actions. Young people will buy on impulse. Rather than cleaning up after themselves, they leave a mess, literally and figuratively. They try on impulse. Without considering consequences. They take the immediate pleasure of sex without making the long-term love commitment of marriage. And then we have the warning. The preacher says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. It's a more literal way of saying that. See, Solomon is aware, he knows, he's aware that young people face many temptations. There are many temptations for young people today. tons of temptations for young people today. I'm constantly having to talk with my children about the little things that the world is throwing out at them to try to hook them into doing things that are very naughty. Things that they will one day have to give an account for. See, Solomon clearly believes that God is righteous and he's the righteous judge and he will hold every one of us accountable for what we do. He gives us a really good here. He says, he reminds us that every time we follow our hearts and do what looks good, we have to answer to God for what we have done. Man, that's a good balance, isn't it? Go ahead. Do what you want. Just remember that everything you do, you will have to give an account for. Man. Young people, be aware. Beware of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The word judgment here at the end of verse 9, literally in the Hebrew, you would say that this is the judgment. What does he mean by the judgment? He's referring to probably the last of all judgments, the great day when God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And so here's the problem. The problem is, young people, we think, oh, yeah, I know, I get that. I know that there's judgment coming. I know that, you know, I got to make an account for all of these kinds of things. But in our minds, because we're young, we're thinking, oh, this is just a long way off. I got life to live. I got to face God, but that's just when I'm older and about ready to die. I'll deal with that. Here's a reminder. The judge is always near. Job chapter 28, verse 24. Job chapter 28, verse 24. Just so that you know, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. Man, that passage of scripture for years have always terrified me. Anytime I feel like I'm going astray, I always remember Job. He sees everything under the heavens. This means that everything we do, everything we decide, matters for all eternity. How we spend money, what we do with our bodies, the way we use our time, what we decide about our future, how we handle our relationships, what we touch, what we taste, what we hear, what we see. All of this matters to the judge, and therefore it should matter to us as well. Rejoice, yes, is what he's saying. Rejoice, but be responsible. Rejoice, but we need to be responsible. Enjoy life's pleasures, but not in sinful ways. Celebrate the gift of youth, but at the same time, follow God's command to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That's what the Word of God is urging us to do today. That's the advice, to flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now, I know this isn't a popular message that young people are being given today. Matter of fact, the message that they're being given today is the exact opposite of that. And it's not just in the world, family. It's in the church. I can remember when, I went to a Christian high school here in Colorado. Went to a Christian high school. Same school that Casey went to. He didn't graduate from, but he went to. Sherry and I graduated from Riverview. But here's the thing. The thing that I thought was really interesting is that here we are at a Christian school. We have worship every morning, pray, hear the God's word, all this stuff, and being taught lessons and taught the education from a godly perspective. And it almost seemed like every time we got together at lunchtime and we sat down, the thing that interests us were all the naughty things we were doing. It almost seemed like the cooler people in the school was always the ones that were being naughty, you know? And it's just, you know, it's just like, well, my mom and my dad, they won't let me watch that movie. Where I did. I saw that movie. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, whoa. Well, you know, so now all of a sudden, this person's cool, and we just listen to what they have to say. You know, they get away with all kinds of things that are not good. It's amazing how a lot of this message gets brought in, even into the church. And so, what we have here is we have Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, giving us some advice in life. He's giving us some advice. Young and old, he's saying, here's some good advice for you. And then Solomon, after that, he says, but know this, everyone, that all the stuff that's happening under the sun here in life, it's all meaningless. That's funny, the things that we're striving for, the things that we desire, the things that we want, even when it comes to just the day-to-day stuff. I mean, sometimes I feel like, for in us in our culture today, we feel like that we're falling into more and more of this thing. It's so funny, it's almost idolatrous to me, but this thing called busyness. Do you notice how all of a sudden, everybody in the last 10 years is just too busy to do anything? It's like, I'm busy. It's every guy, this schedule, they wake up and they bust out their day timer. I mean, some of you all got that on Alexa. It's Alexa, what's on my schedule today? And she just goes for 15 minutes, letting you all the things that you got to do today. We are just so busy. And understand, family, that there's a lot that we have to do. But I wonder sometimes in society today, if even busyness, that whole idea of busyness has crept in and starting to even infect how we think, where we find our identity in how busy we are. Think about that. I mean, does it feel like a competition at times? It's just like, well, I'm not as busy as so-and-so, so I better start adding some things to my schedule. And we find our identity in these things. Find our identity in busyness. Oh, I can feel good about myself today because I accomplished a lot. Even when it comes to like work and our jobs, it's like our resume isn't, the resume isn't what we, it's not about what we do or what we've done or what our experience is. Our resume is today, it's who we are. It's like we define ourselves with all of these things. We get caught and trapped in defining ourselves, finding our significance, finding our goals and our purpose on all of these things, which the book of Ecclesiastes is telling us what? It's all vanity. Life under the sun, it's all meaningless. And he tells us again, to enjoy the good things in life, yes, but remember the problem. There will be dark days. For many of us who have lived many years, we have already experienced many dark days. Well, Solomon, again, inspired by God, tells us that there are still more of these days ahead of us. Young people, there are dark days ahead and many more after that. So both, young, old, enjoy your season in life. But remember, we have to give an account. That's the advice. Did you hear that? So here's the advice. Enjoy life. But remember, one day we have to give an account. But let's be honest with ourselves today. Okay, everybody be honest. That's kind of the problem, isn't it? Kind of the problem, isn't it? The advice. There is a wrestling match that's constantly happening in us. You know, parents, we have to deal with this when it comes to even our children. There is this dichotomy, this struggle that we have to deal with all the time. Even as adults, we have to deal with this all the time. And I see this, and I can see it even sometimes in my children's faces when we say things like this. When we say, we want you, mom and dad, we want you to be happy. But we also want you to be good. Isn't that the problem? I mean, it's like you think as parents, that's what we got to say. Yes, kids, we want you to be happy. We want you to do what you want, but we want you to be good. We want you to be good. We want you to be happy. We want you to be happy, but we want you to be good. This is a problem that we have, a wrestling match that we have inside. Adults, we know this because we feel this wrestling inside of us too. Because the problem is, many times, being bad is what's going to make us happy. Come on. Don't look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jane. I know you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes being good just isn't fun. Being good just doesn't make me happy. Just doing good things is just, how can I be happy? By being good. Can't be happy with being good. That's why it's not going to be a fun time when we stand before the judge at the end of the day. Because if we're honest with ourselves, you'd be thinking, I have many years. The problem with my many years is because I live for many years, I've done many things that I have to be accountable for. So that's the advice, right? Enjoy life. Do all these things. But you are going to have to give an account for everything that we've done. Some that have lived many years, they say, oh, there's a lot more I have to be accountable for than some of these young ones. I know that, if I had to stand before God and they had to compare the bad things I did with the bad things my son did, yeah, my list would probably be double. Triple. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Quadruple, okay? Being honest. But don't relax too much, young ones. Some of you young ones heard that and just be like, yeah, that's right. I'm not going to have a lot to answer for. Let me say this. All it takes is for you to break one of the commandments of God for you to be as guilty as someone who has broken all of it. That's James. So, when we give an account for it, what happens? Judgment. Can't avoid that in the Bible. The Bible makes that really clear. Then at the end, there will be judgment. And we are going to be judged for everything that we have done. We are going to be judged for every sin that we have committed. The Bible makes it clear. The wages of sin, the penalty of sin is death, eternal destruction. Jesus called it the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not me. This is the Word of God. It's the truth. There is going to be judgment. So, some of you may be, okay, you got my attention. Shane, do you got some good advice for us today? The answer is no. I don't have good advice for us today. I got something better. I got good news for you today. The Lord made a way for us. Salvation is here for us. You see this throughout all the scriptures. God made a way, always makes a way for his people. And what he did, what did he do for us? What he did was he sent his son, Jesus, to bring us salvation today. We see it in God's word. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Family, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Want some more good news? Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. Did you know that Jesus lived the life that we should have lived? He died the death that we should have died to give us a life that we should not have because we didn't deserve it. That is our gracious, loving, compassionate God that we serve today. Oh yeah, the promises continue. You want some more? You want some more good news? That all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the thing I love about Christianity that we've got to get. It's one thing we love about why we gather here today as Christians. And people will say, oh, Christianity compared to all the other religions. I'll tell you one of the things that stands out about Christianity compared to all the other religions. All the other religions in this world, they're really good at giving you good advice. None of them work. None of them help. That's the difference with Christianity. Christianity is not about good advice. It's about good news. The news that we declare to the world. The gospel of Jesus. Jesus came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. You know, and another comparison I think of when it comes to other religions, it's interesting how in other religions, salvation, nirvana, all the things that you're looking for, all the good stuff, you gain that by following the teaching of the teacher. Buddha, you know, Muhammad, the Quran, all that stuff. You're saved and life comes because you follow the teachings of the teacher. The thing that's awesome about Christianity is we are saved not because the teachings of our teacher, but because the sacrifice of our teacher. Not the teachings of our teacher, but because of our teacher. This is the good news of the gospel. Both young and old, this is good news. And sure, while we are here under the sun, there will be dark days ahead. But we can rejoice because of Christ. And because of Christ, these days, every day, are days that the Lord has made. And because it's the Lord, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.